Welcome back to Navigating Teen Life, the podcast where we dive deep into the issues that matter most to teens: relationships, mental health, dreams, and all the ups and downs in between. I'm Ja.
And I'm Kylie. Whether you're dealing with high school drama, figuring out who you are, or just trying to survive Monday mornings, we're here to unpack it all with you.
Today's episode is a big one. We're talking about something most of us either are going through or have gone through, or will: teen dating and all the mental health stuff that can come with it.
We're super excited because we're here with a special guest joining us today, Miss Michelle, a caseworker at Turnaround with a strong voice in the community. She has been working with teens and families for years, helping people through tough times, relationship struggles, mental health challenges, and more.
Michelle's here to share her knowledge and give us real talk on how we can handle all this stuff in a healthy way. Michelle, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you. I'm super excited to be here. This is such an important topic, and I'm glad we're having this conversation.
Miss Michelle, can you share with our listeners about what Turnaround does at the Boys and Girls Club?
I would love to share with you about what we do. It's one of my favorite topics. Well, it's myself, and I have two other case managers that are on my team. And my part of Turnaround, we're called CAPS, which is Community Advocate Partnership Services. What we do is we go into the community in the Boys and Girls Club, especially, and we give psychoeducation. So because Turnaround is focused on survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault, we come in and we give y'all ways to prevent that to happen to you. So we talk a lot about you loving yourself, you understanding who you are. We talk a lot about boundaries. We also do individually one-on-one sessions with some kids that may be struggling. If you come to us and need any resources, we work very hard to make sure that you have all the resources needed. And we are always there to listen. At your particular Boys and Girls Club, you have teens and you have littles. I call the younger one littles. So you have littles. So I do a lot of art with the littles, and I kind of have real conversations with the teens because y'all teenagers. Y'all not babies. It's no need for me to kind of sugarcoat the stuff that y'all do. And I'm not going to, because I think it's disrespectful to you guys if I just act like y'all babies. Y'all not babies. Y'all teenagers, and y'all need to know what's going on and need to know how to navigate this world. If you're having any problems or you feel like someone is disrespecting you or disrespecting your boundaries, or you feel unsafe, we're there to go ahead and navigate with you the process of how to get to what you need done. So last week, y'all had an event where I kind of asked a lot of the teens, you know, what do you do if you was walking down the street and you saw a woman getting beat? How would you handle that? How would you navigate that? What would you do? And a lot of people kind of didn't know what to do, because that's a scary situation. You know, first thing we want to do is what? Mind our business, right? It ain't my problem. But this person's getting beat. You know, it is your problem. It's going to affect you in some type of way, no matter what you think. You got to find somebody you could talk to. My key thing through this whole podcast is finding that trusting adult that you can talk to. And we're out here. We just want you to come talk to us.
What made you choose to be a caseworker for Turnaround?
It's a funny story. I wasn't going to be working with teens. I wanted to be a gym teacher. I know, right? That's crazy, right? It's complete opposite. I wanted to be a gym teacher, but when I was in college, my mom called me and said I needed to get a job. And I needed a job to just take care of myself, because she was a single mother and she had my brother. So I got a job at a group home. And it was overnight. It was good for me because I was on a basketball scholarship and I needed to just maintain so I can work overnight and still make it to practice and different things like that. So I fell in love with it at that moment. I got to meet teen boys and help them with their life skills. And ever since then, I've just been stuck in this wonderful career where I'm helping people. You know, I don't have any kids of my own. So I believe that y'all are my next generation. And when I get old and gray, I hope that everybody that I touch will think of me when I'm in a nursing home instead of like, she was mean, don't change her diaper. Little joke, guys.
What are some things that you do in the community?
I try to mentor. I try to counsel and I try to give resources to any families or young people that is out there. Also, when working with Turnaround, we focus on healthy relationships. So I try to give a lot of psychoeducation about domestic violence, especially with teens, and also about what to do and how to handle if you were assaulted in any kind of way.
Let's start with something we all need to hear more about, healthy relationships. Ms. Michelle, what are some signs of a healthy relationship?
Great question. A healthy relationship is all about mutual respect, trust, and open communication. You should feel safe in being yourself, no pressure, no manipulation, just support and understanding.
Thank you. What are some ways teens can communicate effectively in different relationships, whether it's with friends, parents, teachers, or siblings?
Well, first, talk, listen, be honest, say how you feel. Using I statements is always great. Like, I feel hurt when, instead of blaming. And we always respect each other's boundaries. It's also totally okay to ask for space or ask for time to think about what you gotta say to them. It's always great to say to them, I need some space, I need some time. Not that you're disregarding their feelings or what they need to say, but sometimes our emotions get so caught up that we sometimes become mean or nasty instead of just hearing each other. So it's very important that you talk, listen, put those boundaries in place. You'll be amazed how much the conversation can go.
Let's be real. Communicating with people like parents, teachers, or even friends isn't always easy. Michelle, what are some common challenges teens face when it comes to communication in these relationships, and how can they handle them better?
Well, jealousy is one. Peer pressure, not knowing how to set the boundaries is a big one. The key is self-awareness. If something doesn't feel right, talk about it. Or seek help or from a trusting adult. Don't ignore these red flags. The self-awareness is really key because you have to understand that you need to know how you feel and how whatever they said to you made you feel. And for example, if I'm upset, I know that I can't talk right away. I have to say, let me go ahead and listen to some music. Let me go ahead and regroup and let me go ahead and take deep breaths. When I'm working with kids and families in the community, the first thing I say is, hold up, I can't hear you if you're yelling. I can't hear you if you're screaming. We can all sing together, but we all can't talk together. So taking the moments and having that self-awareness, giving yourself the tools and the time to just relax so that you can say what you need to. And it's not, you know, real talk, writing out stuff. If you need to talk about something that's really important and it's very hard, write out your script. It's okay. That way you're not, you know, you're not missing anything and you don't feel like you're not heard.
What do you consider a healthy relationship?
Oh, what do I consider a healthy relationship? Well, one is communication. You got to be able to talk to your partner. If you can't talk to your partner, everything else will fall apart. Everything. I recently learned this about myself, that it's important to have boundaries in your relationship. At my age, I just learned that it's important to have boundaries in your relationship. If you don't have your healthy boundaries, it could just get kind of gray and muddy, and then you find yourself in arguments that kind of could have been avoided. So the one thing is, I'm always say communication. Communication starts that boundary conversation. The boundary source conversation starts how you navigate your relationship. Also being a good listener. You know, sometimes when you are very opinionated or maybe not so opinionated, you're either going to take over the relationship or you're going to just be like on the sideline and accept anything in a relationship. So those three things is important to me in healthy relationships. Oh, and a key for teenagers, don't let everybody in your business. That's important. Not letting everybody know what's going on. Because you got to understand when you do that, you're bringing other people's opinions into your relationship. And we're all still growing. We do value our friends' opinions. So you never know how that may change your thinking pattern.
So, Ms. Michelle, our club is doing a program called TLC, Think, Learn, Create Change. And we are advocating for teen mental health to get recognized more often. We call ourselves the Peacemakers. And our initiative right now is to get a Common Corner in all the local libraries in Baltimore. What steps do you think we need to take to provide that?
One thing is, I think that's awesome that y'all are fighting to get a Common Corner in all the libraries. That is key. Two is trying to get your peers to kind of come together and stand as one and have the same voice. When you're talking about placing things into libraries, you know, it's a board and it's a board of directors. You got to kind of present these things, kind of getting a panel together, kind of like having a representative to come talk to you. But I would always encourage you to have an adult plus the teens. It's y'all. It's about y'all. It's not about us. It's about what y'all need. Going to each library or finding the communities in the library for these Common Corners. What does the Common Corner look like? What do you want the Common Corner to represent? How is it going to calm you? How y'all going to keep it safe and people not destroying it? Because we also know people tend to misuse equipment that does not belong to them or they did not pay for it. So it's, you got to ask the what, when, and how questions when you are trying to present something. Baltimore City does need a Common Corner in every library. I think it's very, very instrumental in finding somewhere you can go and feel safe in order for you to think and just to get your thoughts together. It's just not enough with the Boys and Girls Club. I think the Boys and Girls Club do great with their Common Corners and getting everything and giving y'all a safe place, but sometimes the Boys and Girls Clubs are not open on the weekends, and the library is. Some libraries open on Sunday. If you can go there and just be able to decompress, think, breathe without the pressures of everything that's going on out here, you'll be amazed at what it could do. So my first step will tell y'all to do is just have a panel discussion. Get the teens that y'all know together. Ask them what they would like to see what the Common Corner looks like. Of course, you know, you're going to have the knucklehead teams that are like, we want this, we want that. No, this is just for your mental health and how you could decompress.
Now, let's shift gears a bit. Let's talk about mental health, especially stuff like anxiety and depression.
Michelle, what are some signs or symptoms of depression and how can teens recognize them, whether in themselves or in their friends?
Okay, so if your friend seems down more than 2 weeks, like losing interest in stuff or losing interest in stuff and not feeling love, they always feeling tired all the time, trouble sleeping, pulling away from people they usually hang out with. Those are signs of depression. It's just not about being sad. It's deeper than that, and it needs more attention. When you start seeing your friends act like that, it's important that you can reach out to them. And if they're really not ready to talk, try to find someone that you feel that they have a rapport with or tell someone that you trust. It's very important that they understand that they're not alone. Depression is one of the things that is running in your age group and always has run in society no matter what. But I commend your age group because y'all are willing to talk about it. My age group, we were not willing to talk about it. It was like, get over it.
And once you do notice a friend struggling, how can teens step up and support them without making it feel awkward or overwhelming?
Just be there for them. Just listen without trying to fix everything. It can mean like a lot of you. It would mean a lot to you if you just kind of listen. Like, what is it, the thing that y'all have so many sayings now?
We listen and we don't judge.
Yes. Try not to judge. It's important because
it's hard, especially when it comes to someone starting a conversation with we listen and we don't judge.
Yeah, because, you know, TikTok has made it a trend and social media has made it a trend. But it's a very good statement because the listen and we don't judge, it should be a statement that's made for y'all to feel very comfortable. So my thing is, when someone's coming to talk to me, I listen. I just listen to what they say. And sometimes I listen so much that they be like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm listening to you. Are you ready for my feedback? Ask them, you know, do you want to hear what I have to say back to you? Or do you just need somebody to listen to you? You'll be amazed at how much it encourages them. Because sometimes it's not even about they want your feedback. They just need to get it off their chest. And they trusted you enough to go ahead and do it. Just make sure that y'all trust is there. Because sometimes being teenagers, y'all friends come and talk to y'all, and then y'all in y'all group chats or y'all out there with y'all friends, and then y'all start telling the business, you know, and that's not what that friend needed. And then the friend just needed you to be a friend. And if it's just deeper, and if you feel like it's getting deeper than what you can handle, I'm going to always say, find a trusting adult. That adult that you trust and go to, that you know that's not going to list, that's not going to judge them, that's not going to make you feel bad for telling them, it's always a great thing. And I know it's in your age group, it's very hard for y'all to find those trusting adults because y'all always think adults are out here trying to just pick and pride y'all, but we're not. We just really want to know what's going on. It's tough being a teenager. I get it. I really do. The stuff y'all deal with, I thought it was tough when I was a kid, but y'all got a little bit more pressure than me.
And there's also so much pressure these days. It's wild. Michelle, what are some healthy ways teens can cope with stress or anxiety when it feels like everything's piling up?
So y'all great laugh at this, but it really does work. Breathing exercises. Taking deep breaths really does work.
I always do that.
It works in everyday life. Just think about it if you're having a test, right? And, you know, test anxiety is a real thing. You know, when you're getting those tests and you're trying to go ahead and make sure you get the correct grades. Breathing and counting. I'm okay. I'm good. I'm fine. Slowly letting them out. Those breathing exercises. And it's all types of form of breathing exercises. I just learned a new breathing exercise from a six-year-old that was called turtle breathing. And I was like, what? But I got it. When they showed it to me, I was like, I can see why that's a good technique. Also, you know, journaling, writing down your thoughts. One thing about journaling is it's your journal. So anything that you're feeling, and if you feel like you need to cut somebody out in your journal, it's your journal. Nobody should really have access to your journal. And if your parents do have access to your journal, it's your parents' job not to pick and pry what's going on. It could be a vent journal entry. Now, mind you, if it's something that's going to go into you, harm yourself, yes, we're going to react to it. We're going to go ahead and make sure we get the necessary help for you. But it's your journal. I had it's these things at Amazon called an angry journal. This journal prompts you to do anything to this journal. It's built to withstand so much. You could throw coffee on it. You could kick it. You can spit on it. Anything that you want to do to this journal is your journal. So things like that, moving your body, exercising, you know, those things help. Art, finding what you like. Me, personally, I build Lego sets. That's my thing. I listen to music and build Lego sets. It calms me down. And I like to clean, so that's another coping mechanism that's healthier than an unhealthy one.
I don't know how people find cleaning calming. That stresses me out.
Really?
Yes.
Is it just because it gets overwhelming?
No, cleaning just stresses me out. I don't like it.
I love cleaning.
Yeah. It's a good thing.
It stresses me out. Do you have any advice for teens who are struggling with mental health?
Don't be afraid to talk to someone. If you need more help other than your family, let the family know, I need to go to therapy. Fight for yourself. Do not sit there with those feelings. Those feelings build up. It's just like a soda bottle. If you shake up a soda bottle and you open it, what's going to happen? It explodes. Your feelings are just the same way. They become overwhelming. Do you ever, sometimes I know that a lot of teens I talk to, they get a pit. Like they feel like they're about to throw up sometimes when their feelings get so much, like they just can't swallow. It's because they haven't let out a lot of stuff. I don't care who it is. Find someone that you can trust and you can talk to. Use those coping skills. It's over 1,000 coping skills in this world. Find your thing that you like that you can use at any time, even if it's a fidget. Sometimes my thing, I couldn't do it here, is I like to sway. So, but I couldn't do it, but I did pretty good with that. So, but I'm always here to talk to. Y'all can find me at any local Boys and Girls Club.
Thank you for sharing. Now for something that really doesn't get talked about enough, rejection. Whether it's getting turned down by a group of friends or not getting invited to something, rejection is hard.
Michelle, how can teens handle rejection in a healthy way, especially when it feels super personal?
Well, first, feel your feelings. It's okay to have those feelings. Your feelings are never wrong. They're your feelings. How can I tell you being too emotional? They're your feelings. Don't bottle it up. Rejection stings. It hurts. It's but it's not the end of your story. It's just a part of your story. When you feel like you really rejected or you feel like you're really hurt, talk to someone. Remind yourself that this doesn't mean, remind yourself that this doesn't define you at all. Your worth is important. It's just a moment. Sometimes I think people look at rejection as the end all be all. It's not. You have a lot of stuff going on and you never know why you wasn't supposed to be in that situation. You know, we just got to let things play out, but don't let it define you. But feel your feelings. Have that moment to be like, yo, that hurt. That made me really upset. But, you know, talk to somebody. Journal it. Go back to those healthy coping skills.
And what are some good strategies for bouncing back and building your self-esteem so rejection doesn't totally wreck your confidence?
Do things that remind you of your strengths. Hang out with some supportive people, learn a new skill, maybe volunteer, write it out. Also shift your inner voice. Instead, I'm not good enough. Say, I'm still growing. I'm proud of myself for how hard I come. I don't have to, you know, I didn't have to do that. Self-talk, a lot of self-talk. A lot of times rejection usually comes from your peers and it can be hard. Teens are not always nice. Adults aren't always nice, but just remind yourself that I'm proud of myself because especially I have a motto that says, I try to be better every day. So I try to be better than the day I was yesterday. So if yesterday I got irritated driving, today I'm going to try my best not to get irritated driving. I'm not going to put a lot of pressure on me. I'm just going to try to be better every day.
And because we've all been there, let's talk about anger and frustration. Like when your day is just not it, and one more thing might make you explode.
Miss Michelle, what are some good techniques for teens to manage anger and frustration in the moment, especially when things feel like everything's out of control?
It goes back to your self-awareness and knowing you. We all have signs that says we get very get angry. Something happens. We might clench our fists. Our heart might beat fast. We might get hot. We might clench our jaw. We might do a little soft talk like, man, these people don't even know what I'm about to do. It's important that we try to step away from it. You know, it's important that we understand who we are. You know, like you have to be able to be aware of your anger or even if you see a friend about to get angry, somewhere down the line, you could tell they're about to get angry. Then start those deep breaths, those healthy coping skills. Take that time out. I need space right now. I don't feel like talking right now. And letting your friend group and your parents in the most respectful way know, I just need some space just to calm down. I don't want to make a decision out of anger. I don't want to respond out of anger. I want to hear you, but I'm so angry, so I got to calm down. So it goes back to those healthy coping skills. It goes back to you being very self-aware of who you are. And it goes back to you finding a way to let out your feelings in the most appropriate way.
And how can mindfulness or relaxation techniques help? Like, are there quick things teens can actually do in school or at home to calm down and stay focused?
Yes, it's all about that moment. Try to do a breathing exercise. In school, it's kind of hard because sometimes people just don't respect that you're upset. But it goes back to your communication. It goes back to, right now, I need a moment. It goes back to, I guess, raising your hand. I don't know if they still do this in school where I need to take a bathroom break or I need to get some water. I know in elementary schools, they have cold water on the desk for kids because sometimes they get very upset and they get very flustered, so they get to drink water. Believe it or not, cold water or drinking something can snap you out of a lot of things. Remember to do your deep breathing. I have this technique where you kind of take your hand and you kind of go, and then you take a deep breath and then you try to reassess again and you just keep on touching your fingers. This right here with your thumb touching each one of your finger refocuses you. It gets you off what's upsetting you and it helps you see and focus on something different. So you can go back at the task at hand and not be so frustrated. So those are some things. Also, if you can in school, listen to your music. I know y'all, I'm not talking about no. Well, who's going to get out of jail now that's going on tour? Who is it?
Young boy.
So, I mean, okay, young boy, but you, if he calms you down, it does. I mean, I like Raw Wave personally, so.
It's all I listen to. I'm still going to Young Boy concert, though.
I don't know why everyone's talking about his tickets are so expensive. They're really not.
How much are they?
When I checked, they're like three something.
I mean, I guess for a teenager, that is expensive.
No, grown adults were saying that it was expensive.
Well, the grown adults are going to be in there because there's a lot of grown adults that like Young Boy.
A lot of people.
A lot of people did. I wanted to go see Chris Brown, so. Yeah.
I saw him last summer. I'm going to go again.
Ain't he in jail?
No, he got out of jail.
Him and Raw Wave got out the same week.
You was up to 4 a.m. and you still didn't read that.
I wasn't on social media.
This has been such a powerful and honest conversation. Miss Michelle, thank you so much for being here and sharing your insight. I think a lot of teens are going to feel seen, understood, and a little bit more equipped after hearing this.
I think so too. These are the kinds of conversations that really matter to everyone listening. Just a reminder that it's okay to feel overwhelmed sometimes. It's okay to not have it all figured out. What matters is that you're showing up, learning, and taking care of yourself.
If this episode spoke to you, make sure to follow us wherever you're getting this episode and sharing it with someone who might need to hear this too.
Until next time, be kind to yourself, check in with your friends, and keep growing. Thanks for tuning in to Navigating Teen Life.
Thank you for having me. We're always here. If y'all need any information, you can reach out to the Boys and Girls Club. I have two coworkers that also work with teens, and we will be happy to just come and talk to anybody. You can come to your schools, you can come to the community centers, everywhere, and just talk.